Court documents say a former school aide kept abusing children while evidence against him sat in storage. A WTOP investigation finds the reason behind the delay in charging Carlos Bell in Maryland is a lack of manpower.
Fewer than 24 people are working to process digital evidence in the entire state. Our investigation continues with WTOP's Megan Clardy.
Just 17 people in Maryland are working to review thousands of cell phones, tablets, and computers linked to nearly every crime in the state.
You know, they're connected to homicides, to terrorism, to child endangerment. It runs the gamut.
Greg Shipley with Maryland State Police says there are 4 digital analysts processing roughly 15 cases a month for 20 counties. The lab is facing a 10-month backlog.
This cannot just be assigned to the Maryland State Police alone. We have the Maryland State Police and about 4 other police departments in the state who have a computer forensics lab. We need the involvement of more police departments.
5 analysts are working in Montgomery County, which has the largest team of any lab in the state. Prince George's County has the smallest, but all have a queue of cases they cannot get to fast enough. The backlog had real consequences for Charles County families when it took months for investigators to analyze evidence they later used to charge former teacher's aide Carlos Bell with sexual crimes against children. During those months, court documents show he exploited 3 other kids, including potentially infecting a teenager with HIV.
It's never acceptable. It's never something that we should ever become complacent to or reactionary to.
Mike Bellis runs the United Way of Charles County, where Bell lives.
I hope this is an opportunity for us to kind of dissect the failure and fix it in the future.
Backlogs are very common.
Sean Goodison would know. He authored a report on the challenges facing digital crime labs across the country for the Police Executive Research Forum. Goodison says depending on the number of devices, one case can take months to complete.
It is a sea of information, and police are typically looking for one specific cup of water.
He says training is needed early and often, and adequate funding to hire analysts is necessary. Otherwise, evidence backlogs will continue to delay justice. Megan Clougherty, WTOP News.
WTOP's Megan Clougherty is watching protesters clash with police downtown.
As a police helicopter hovers overhead, police are barricading in a line K Street at 13th Street and opposing a number of protesters that are coming up K Street now. I would put them in the 200 to 300 person range. The bigger crowd is watching all of this happen, climbing the trees in the parks nearby and lining the streets until any of these flashbangs go off and they all retreat. DC police confirms it's arrested approximately 95 protesters today so far. Things getting tense here at 13th and K.
Well, it is an annual reason to question just how much you can eat. We're talking about the Z Burger Independence Burger Eating Championship.
2, 1, go!
Returning champ Molly Schuyler did not disappoint at Z Burger in Tenleytown. Standing in the sun, she managed to down 21 burgers in 10 minutes.
I was sluggish today. I ate 28 last year, so that says something.
This time we made burgers a little bit bigger, tried to see if she can beat her record, but she didn't.
Just down the table from Skylar was D.C. paralegal Quandique Beasley, who really had no idea who she was up against.
She just told me she not full. She hungry again. I said, me too, but you ate 21. I only ate 4.
And she finished that 21 off with a milkshake. In Northwest, Megan Clougherty, WTOP News.
Well, that is impressive.
Robocalls. Oh, they are annoying.
Yeah.
Seemingly constant. While some of you only get a few robocalls a month, others are getting a lot more, and it's all based on your area code.
WTOP's Megan Clougherty explains in part one of her series, Robo Rage.
Hello, this is Rachel at Cardholder Services.
It's not your imagination. You're getting more robocalls than ever before.
2.4 billion of them every single month. We're committed to trying to stop the flood, but it is a flood right now.
Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai says most Americans get about 8 robocalls a month. But we get more calls in the Washington area than other parts of the country.
I would have expected the 202 to be pretty low, but it's like 17 or 18 calls per person per month on average.
Alex Quisilli is the CEO of UMail, a consumer caller ID caller blocking service which tracks robocalls nationally.
So Seattle averages 2 or 3 per person. The Bay Area averages 2 or 3 per person per month.
But UMail estimates DC numbers got 30 robocalls per person in July. while area codes 301 and 703 received about 7 calls per person in the same month. Outside the city, the area codes hit the hardest are 571 and 240, where in just the month of July, callers received more than 15 robocalls.
Your home was selected to receive free wireless security system.
Quasili's advice, let unknown numbers roll to voicemail. Use call screening services and remain skeptical.
It's good to be paranoid now. There's a really good chance that it's a scammer calling you. I mean, we see sometimes it's up to 50% of the volume of calls coming in are scams.
Head to WTOP.com to learn more about preventing scam calls. Search robocall. Megan Cloherty, WTOP News.
506, a year after it opened its doors, a ticket to the National Museum of African American History and Culture is still one of the hottest in town. And this weekend, the museum celebrates its first birthday with a big party.
To walk the history was just beautiful. It was wonderful.
Her first visit to the African American History Museum was an emotional one for Sheila Davis.
All of the pain and suffering from my ancestors gave me a chance to be here and to accomplish what I've accomplished.
And here we are a year later, averaging 8,000 visitors a day.
John Franklin says 1 year in, many are visiting for the first time. This weekend, there will be free celebrations both inside and outside the museum.
And we have a family history center, and people can come and begin to learn how to research their families.
See a video and get details of the weekend party at WTOP.com. Search museum. Megan Cloherty, WTOP News.
A former Montgomery County elementary school teacher is excited to hold a cup of coffee. After losing her limbs and part of her face to a potentially deadly disease, she is now relearning how to live with prosthetics.
So far, I've learned to open and close.
Sharon Cauldron may be a bit hard to understand, but wearing a new hand, her spirits are sky high.
I can brush my teeth now. I'm going to be able to pick up a coffee cup in the morning. That's going to feel so good.
Cauldron lost her hands, both legs below the knee, part of her face and tongue when she awoke in February 2016 to find them turning blue.
I had septic shock syndrome, which is a blood poisoning type.
At its new Rockville, Maryland office, Tyler Manee with Ability fitted her for the prosthetic hand.
It is modeled after our hands and moves like them, and that's what she needs.
Megan Cloherty, WTOP News.
Smart home devices such as the Amazon Echo and Google Home are all the rage this holiday season. More of us are using the technology at home now, but we're also becoming more vulnerable to digital break-ins. In our series, Hackable Holidays, WTOP's Megan Cloherty explores how easily smart devices can be hacked and the 6 steps you can take to protect yourself.
Hey, Alexa, what's the weather tomorrow?
Alexa is not the only name in town when it comes to smart home hubs, with Amazon facing competition from Google Home and the forthcoming Apple HomePod.
Tomorrow in Washington, you'll see mostly sunny weather.
Each can be synced with other smart devices in your home to control what's known as the Internet of Things, smart devices like your lights or security system.
There aren't a lot of safety precautions you can take other than the ones that are already on your home network.
Tracy Wall-Raven is a forensic scientist in D.C.'s Digital Evidence Unit and says consumers need to understand what these systems can do and their vulnerabilities.
In fact, they've done multiple studies about how people have hacked into these devices to the point where they just took it completely down and then got into other devices on the network.
Wall-Raven says an unsecured home network, or one with a password that's easy to crack, would allow a hacker to learn your behavior. For example, when your thermostat is in vacation mode, even topics of interest in your home based on the questions the device answers.
Hey Google, turn on video mode.
Problem is that you pull it out of the box, you plug it in, and you get it to work, and you're just, you know, high-fiving everybody, and then you didn't continue to read the instructions on how to properly secure the device, or you know, really haven't thought about it.
Ken Colburn of Data Doctors says there are multiple ways to protect your home, including setting up separate Wi-Fi for your devices, taking care to change factory default usernames and passwords, and purchasing a smart firewall.
It's a much easier way for the average consumer to manage smartly and securely all these devices. You know, who wants to become a security expert just to put a camera in your house?
Find the 6 steps to protect your smart home device from hacking at WTOP.com. Search hack. Megan Cloherty, WTOP News.
A historic day at Georgetown University. The school rededicated 2 buildings once named for the men responsible for the sale of enslaved men, women, and children. And they've honored the legacy of those whose names now grace the hallowed halls.
That story from WTOP's Megan Cloherty.
Today, we remember 2 of the early members in the story of this hilltop.
Lord.
On a bright spring day, Georgetown University acknowledged the shadows of its past.
Behind me is Isaac Hawkins Hall.
In front of students, professors, and descendants of some of the 272 slaves sold by the Maryland Province of Jesuits in 1838 to benefit the university, current president John DeJoya officially rededicated two halls on campus. The first is named for Isaac Hawkins, listed at the top of the Jesuit slaves for sale.
The dedication of Isaac Hawkins Hall and Anne Marie Beecraft Hall is a significant step towards sustaining that awareness and preserving this history within our community.
Two buildings that were once named for our ancestors' enslavers will now be named for the enslaved and a free woman of color.
Hawkins' descendant Karen Harper Royal also joined in paying tribute to Anne Marie Beecraft, a free woman who opened one of the first schools for black girls in the 1820s on D.C.'s Dumbarton Street.
It was students from Georgetown that led Georgetown to recognize more needed to be done than simply acknowledging their history with slavery.
I find myself at a loss for words.
Professor Marcia Chatelaine is a member of the working group which helped the university reach this day.
If Isaac Hawkins were here today to see what we have built on this hilltop upon the rock of the Catholic faith, if Anne Marie Beecraft could see Georgetown today and travel along the shores of the Potomac River and see the city she served, would they find us worthy of their gifts?
We seek to remember, to honor, and to recognize the lives, hardships, and legacies of Isaac Hawkins and Anne Marie Beecraft. We will ensure their history, our history, is memorialized in these spaces.
Megan Clougherty, WTOP News.